Earlier today, a demonstration on campus against gun violence, 11 o'clock at Wilson Library. A lot of people on hand for this, including State House Representative Greg Meyer, U.S. House Representative David Price, and Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, who joins us now here in the studio. And
great
whose
event.
Microphone I did not turn on. There we go.
Well, hello.
How are you?
Well,
yes.
Hello.
I did turn on a microphone. It just wasn't the one you were sitting at.
Is that sort of some sign error?
I didn't know. We're getting to the end of the week.
Okay. It was a great event out there today.
Yeah.
So excited to see students being empowered, speaking up, and the message was to keep it up, keep going, do something.
Because it's sustained activity, I think, and sustained advocacy, because we're not going to see, this might be the tipping point, but a tipping point might move the dial 2 or 3%. There's still going to be a lot of opposition.
You know,
so it's sustained activity.
And
that
I said the National Organization of Mayors Against Gun Violence has offered their platform to help these student groups out there so they can broadcast to each other and know what other groups are doing so they don't have to create the wheel themselves. And coordinated efforts. I've heard there's a planned walkout in high schools on March 14th and again on April 20th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So students taking a stand and taking action, and this generation gives us hope, okay? And they talked about they're the future. They talked about they're the now. And so I thought that was really funny. And it was gun control now, and it was take action, not thoughts and prayer. You know, we definitely send thoughts and prayers, but let's make change and have action.
Yeah, and thoughts and prayers has just become such a knee-jerk kind of generic response. Like, oh, that's what you say when you have no intention of saying or doing anything else.
Well, you have no intention of doing anything else, and that's not right. And then Congressman Price talked about how they said it was too soon, let's not politicize these events. And he's like, too soon, he listed all the events. So we're just going to roll into the next one. So.
And I would be perfectly on board with the too soon argument, because you don't usually want to have huge legislation passed immediately after a tragedy. We did that after 9/11. We wound up with the Patriot Act. You make mistakes. But this isn't the first time we've had something like that. We've had a sustained long debate. There's a lot of research. We know what the best practices are. We know what policies will work and what don't. Let's do the things that work. We've had this argument.
And we were talking about, some folks came over and said, can we help these students go to Washington? I said, let's just get them to Raleigh in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The states that have safety background checks and different kinds of gun, sensible gun laws already on the books have showed a dramatic decrease in the number of incidents in their states overall. So let's start at our state level. Let's get them over there to Raleigh and national too, but let's work at home and get them going. I mean, it's so frustrating, but I'm so hopeful and so excited. And then I said to them, get out there in your social media, do all that, and what you really need to do is vote. Because that's the biggest age group that does not vote. And if this is a value that they hold dear, they need to come out and show that with their vote.
Yeah.
We also talked about they're going to be doing all week, they're going to have events. They're going to be phone banking and writing emails and using social media and putting the pressure out there for others to join in. And this is the Young Democrats on campus, and they're trying to get people organized, and they'll take other groups working with them. I thought they did an amazing job organizing people out there to talk. And loved the posters, loved the energy, and we need to keep it going.
And keep it going for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, get out and vote in the primary in the 2018 election and keep that advocacy up, because even if it ends up being a big sweep in Washington for Democrats, there's still going to be enough opponents of gun control in the Senate to filibuster anything. So this is sustained activity for years to
and
come.
And if we can make a change on our home front here, just even in background checks and the things that we can do, that we can take action here, we could get action at least in our own state.
Yep.
So that would be awesome. So that was good.
Yep.
Last night we had a council meeting, and we honored the Learning Outside group that works over at Irvin Farm. They received the Peace Prize of the North Carolina.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I'm going to blank here. Sorry.
I think it's the North Carolina Peace Prize.
The North Carolina Peace Prize.
Yeah, because they got that. Yeah.
So they work on the Triangle Land Conservancy property, the Irvin Farm, where kids learn to appreciate nature and collaborate together, and they bring all different communities together. It's a fabulous, fabulous program. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so it was really cool. We got our affordable housing update the second quarter, and we're really working on this online dashboard for citizens to be able to look and see what we're doing and understand what we have, where we are, and where we're going, and what the goals are for the year and how we're doing. Still some tweaking going on. There's an affordable housing summit tomorrow at St. Thomas More at 10:30. But it was really great about showing what we have done, what we have, who our partners are, to tell that story out there. We're doing a lot, but there's more we want to do, but we need to show, for a town of 60,000, we've made some pretty good strides towards this. And I guess you'll have to look at the dashboard and play with it a little bit when we get it. I think it'll be live shortly. Talking about Chapel Hill has 22,000 residential units. Of those, about 5,300 are in the affordable ranges, and that's a big span of ranges, but some of those are privately owned, some are owned through partnerships, but the town has been directly involved in helping subsidize over 1,000 of those units. And our goal is to do 400 units in the next 5 years, so around 80 a year, and we've hit that this year with our DHIC program opening up and some other partnerships that have gone on, but we have big plans to keep doing that, so we're moving forward. So that was a really good report, and we like it when we can have people be able to see, and visual works really well, dashboard, so we're working on that, so that was good.
You mentioned the online dashboard there. Is there, and I can think of a couple of websites off the top of my head that you can go if you're looking for housing, whether to buy or to rent in Chapel Hill, where you can go and see some affordable units. Is there a clearinghouse where you can go to see them all?
No, you kind of have, we're talked to too about from our website to link people to Community Home Trust,
to Habitat,
CASA, to Empowerment, to Self-Help Credit Union. So those groups all work together. So if you call one, they're going to be able to recommend you to the other one so you can find that out. Mm-hmm. And Community Home Trust is moving into the rental market as well. They just bought a unit over in the Carver area where they're going to be converting those over and getting those up and running at the level they like to run. So that's good. We talked about conditional zoning revisions last night. Got a little interesting with terminology and differences, but we're trying to create a tool that gives the opportunity for the council to be able to have conversations with citizens that are directed, our advisory boards, developers, and all that to come out with a better product so we can go to those neighborhood meetings and hear the interests and concerns of people. But also that it moves it from being a specifically judicial, kind of a quasi-judicial process into a legislative process so that we can say, yes, we like this, no, we don't. In the SUP process, special use permit process, it has to only meet the four findings of law, and we have to approve it. With a conditional zoning, we get the opportunity to make changes and think about what we'd like to have. So that was one, those were some of the things, but we were talking about how to make sure that we're not setting ourselves up. We don't want to panic somebody to think that we're going to build a big build or allow a big building to be built right in a residential neighborhood. That's not the goal. So we were trying to work through those, how we said that. And then we worked with variable sign messages. The message boards that you see in other communities, we have them on rollers right now around town. They spend a lot of energy putting them out before events and taking them away and all that. So how to have permanent ones, partnering with UNC and the state.
Oh, interesting. So the signs that are out there saying, turn here for UNC basketball parking or things like that.
Or, watch for pedestrians road closed, detour ahead. You know, those signs. So we talked about those board, those message boards and what we'd like them to look like and how the goal last night was to look at the 10 that are recommended around town, and they are for the sort of entranceway areas, the main corridor. So that, again, it was MLK had 3, and East 54 had some, 15501 coming in had some, 15501 coming north had 1, 54 coming from the Carborough Inn had 1 near the James Taylor Bridge. So helping people direct where they need to go.
Can we do it like they did it in L.A. Story, where they've got the signs up on the L.A. freeway, and it's like sometimes it's something important, and the rest of the time it's just like positive messaging and, hey, how are you?
So apparently DOT has rules. We'll have to see what those rules are about what you can put on there.
They're made to be broken.
Okay, well, so anyway, that was an interesting conversation. We had the launch of it last Thursday night. It's the 9th cohort of companies. And so far, 75 companies have been brought through the launch. And those are companies that are both spinning off UNC, from our own community, from the county, everywhere, getting that acceleration and incubation stage there. 46 of those companies are still in business and have created over 1,100 new jobs, of which about 250 have stayed in Orange County.
Nice.
So that's really good. We heard success stories from a couple of them, Jury X, which is on Rosemary Street, and Wallet FI, and then ABC Benchmarking. They're here still in the Chapel Hill area doing really great and expanding, so that was fun. But the highlight of the weekend was the light up event.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Shout out to Hongbin and the whole crew putting on the New Year, the lantern light up event, the Chinese New Year lantern, the year of the dog. over 7,000 people again came out.
Wow.
And there were so many more kid performances and things to do and activity. But it also just looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And these are people coming in from all over, like the triangle, right?
All over, all from
and
all
beyond,
places. And
beyond, yeah.
Yeah, and it was fun. So we were challenged to do a dragon dance. We had town council members and our town manager and some of the staff out there to do, we got trained on how to do the dragon dance and run around. It's kind of an exercise.
Yeah, yeah.
And I say Team Chapel Hill won, but we don't know how the school board did. I didn't get to see there, so.
Well, it's difficult, right? Because you're running around, but it's also like
you're
raising and lowering,
it up,
right?
And jumping
too?
Over yes, the tail, yes, and under the tail. No, it was a lot of fun. That was quite fun. And then the next day, I was over, First Lady Kristen Cooper came over to see the performances again by the kids at Glenwood Elementary School. That was a lot of fun to watch all these different diverse children in Chinese costumes singing Chinese songs. And it was just a wonderful celebration of culture and community. So a lot of fun and really enjoyed it. So is there this weekend we're going to be having the Wilson Caldwell Day celebration on Sunday. Wilson Caldwell was an important figure in our community. He helped he was the first African American Justice of the Peace appointed in North Carolina, but he was also very involved in the university and starting up schools and African American himself, but also getting involved with other African Americans and making his voice heard. And so it's a celebration starting at Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Old Chapel Hill Cemetery, and then we'll go over to the School of Government, have some discussion and celebration, and give credit. I've been working with some UNC student groups on campus to put this all together. They've planned it out well, and I think it's going to be a really wonderful event. Frederick Douglass Day then and now, where there was an event tonight at 7 o'clock at our library. It's co-sponsored by the Carolina Public Humanities. Mm-hmm. So that's all going on. Always a way to get involved in our community. Check our website. There's so much on our website. I think I need a course on how to navigate it. We love to share information, but we want people to be informed, so it's out there. And if you don't get our newsletter, we send a weekly town newsletter that connects you to things that are going on. Please go to the front page of our website and just sign up. It comes once a week. And you can read it. You can ignore it, but at least you can stay informed.
Townofchapelhill.org is the website. Mayor Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.